Talking now with Tom Brink. Tom, let's talk a little bit of a couple of things you were saying during this seminar that was put on today by Superior and the folks on RFD. We obviously have got some real challenges with the number of cattle available for the amount of pen space that we have right now. What's going to happen? How is the feedlot industry going to readjust and shake these things out?
The feeding industry really has some big challenges, as you described it, and we have about 20 to maybe as much as 25% excess capacity, depending on how you measure it. And so I think what I see a lot of feed yards doing is they're in some cases downsizing their yards. So in other words, a yard that might be 30,000 head capacity may only be feeding 20,000 cattle. And they're keeping the yard open, but they're downsizing to fit the supply. And that's really what our segment of the industry has to do. It happens very slowly. Sometimes those adjustments happen a lot more slowly than you'd like to see them happen in a way. But it's hard for people to make those decisions because it's downsizing their business and downsizing their opportunity. But that's what we're going to see in the really over the next couple of years, I think. And we lost a packing plant. The packing plant at Plainview, Texas, Cargill owned plant, is not going to be operating for the foreseeable future. And that also is a symptom of excess capacity in the packing segment.
When it comes to our feedlot capacity, when you go from you can handle 30,000, you only do 20,000, you're really decreasing your efficiency, right?
Well, you have to downsize your staff, unfortunately. You have to downsize everything that you can. You can't change the facility, and you can't change the mill or some of those fixed assets very fast. And so, yes, a feed yard does run much more efficiently when it's full. But we are faced with, I think, and I'm talking about the whole industry now, we are, as cattle feeders, faced with the challenge of really not being able to stay as full as we'd like to. And so we're all searching for ways to run these bigger feed yards probably a little less full and still be as efficient as possible.
The thing I thought was kind of interesting, and this all has to do with our friends of the Japanese making the decision regarding 20-month cattle, moving that level up to a 30-month standard they're now going to be accepting. How does that change the dynamics of what we're doing in our business?
Well, it's going to be beneficial on a 12-month basis, and it just because there are certain times of the year when there have not been enough agent source cattle or the A40 cattle, which is the carcass classification they require. There's been times when there's not been enough of those cattle to satisfy the needs. And so, but on a 12-month basis now, we can always find cattle that are 30 months and under. And so we expect over time to export more beef to Japan. I mean, I think they have the need for meat protein. Prices for meat are very high in Japan, and I think they will buy more of our beef over time. It'll take time to get that going, but it's going to be something that over the next 1 to 2 years will be very positive for beef producers at all level in the supply chain.
What about those age premiums that we've seen?
Yeah, that's going to go away, unfortunately, and I applaud our industry for how well they stepped up and created the verification system needed to qualify for those premiums. I mean, I think it's been very good for everybody that did it, from the feedlot end back to the producer. And we learned something through that process. I think we learned as an industry that we can do things that really create a true supply chain or more along the lines of an integrated supply chain functioning that way, just by better communication, just by better documentation, and that people can get paid for that kind of thing. I do expect that the Japanese may over time come back with some type of a premium for source verification because their retail segment likes source verification. They like to know the source of their food, and that's pretty well entrenched actually at in the retail sector in Japan. And so though we've lost the age component, it may be that we see in time a premium related to source of the animal.
One last question that has to do with the future. What do you all see as far as opportunities with your outfit?
Well, it's going to be challenging in the cattle feeding end of things for sure. I mean, our survival is really probably the number one goal, even above profitability. But we will do our best to stay in business and balance our need, our capacity with the animals available and do the best we can there. I think our challenge is actually a tremendous opportunity for the cow-calf producer because they are producing the raw product, that calf that all of us need, and there just aren't enough of those animals to go around. And so if you're a cow-calf producer out there, you're very much sitting in the driver's seat for the foreseeable future because there just aren't enough cattle to go around. And that's why we continue to see very high prices paid for calves and yearlings and so forth, even despite the fact that the margins at our level in the business aren't very good at all.
I love your comment about the ingredients are all there, just add water.
Well, that's the thing. As we look at our industry in total, we see that we have good demand for our product, both domestically and internationally. We see that our supply is extremely tight. We could certainly expand our cow herd and produce more supply to meet that good demand, and I don't think it would even hurt prices too much if we did that. But we have been limited and not been able to expand the cow herd because of the lack of moisture and the forage shortage that we've had for really different areas, but on the whole, we've suffered for 2 years that way. We need rain. We need to get the forage base rebuilt. We need, hopefully, lower corn prices. All those things would be extremely positive for the cow-calf producer, lower his costs, and it would also increase the price of calves. And so cow-calf profitability could be set up for an unprecedented and very positive run here the next few years if we just have the rain that we need.